Heavenly Father, as we come, that is our testimony. That your mercy and your grace would be right there for us in this time of need. I pray even now that as we proclaim the gospel, the good news, that we might decrease and that you might increase. Save someone today, empower another, and when this time is done, we'll give your name the praise.
Yes, Lord.
And the glory, yes, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to shout out to our technical director, website guru, Taryn. Is not in the States, but she is getting us on the air. To God be the glory. Amen. There's a word that comes from the Lord from Psalm 62, verses 11 and 12a. Even though we have it on the screen, I would always suggest that you don't trust the pastor. He might have had a wrong verse. He might have had a typo. And then you'll be stuck with a piece of scripture. So open your own Bibles, get your own phones out. That way you know you've got it. Amen?
Amen.
Some of y'all still carry them 10-gallon Bibles because they work. Amen? The word of the Lord reads as follows. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. I want to preach today from the sermonic title, Some Things Are Worth Repeating. Some things are worth repeating. Don't make fun of me, but I have a tendency to repeat things in conversations with other people, and I would dare surmise that you have too. The folk are nice, but you've already told them that story 4 or 5 times. If you are a parent, then you have on your resume, you're telling your children, I'm not going to say it again, only to say it again. We believe that in saying it again that they get it. Some of y'all now are living on mama and daddy's, I'm not going to tell you again to do this. I'm not going to tell you again to do that. I think we've lost that. And now we've kind of ask and beg, whereas back then they just told us. Can I go old school for a minute? Amen. Some stuff you ought not throw out, you ought to keep. We tend to repeat stories, phrases, things that we believe are important, key information, vital information, because we know that it sinks in with someone. And if we're honest, we'll smile today when people tell us stories. You say, is that right? Knowing that you've heard it before. I've learned now from being in the news business as long as I have, I'll say, now, if I told you this story before, just let me know. You know, I'll get in the car with the photographer and we'll ask a question or two, and they'll be kind, but say, I think he's already told me that. But I believe that some things are worth repeating, especially when it comes to the Word of God. I'm thinking of David in Psalm 27 and 14. He says, wait on the Lord and to be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. And then he says again, wait, I say, on the Lord. There are so many passages like that in the Bible. But David was emphasizing this sense of waiting. He wanted that to echo. He wanted that to stick into the minds of the believers. But 35 chapters later, he comes back in Psalm 62. And David, in that psalm, spoke about many things. His fears, his experiences, his enemies, we all got them. His disappointments, his guilt, his struggles. But throughout that particular chapter and verse 1, he reminds the people that God will deliver you from trouble. Mm-hmm. Verse 2, he says, God is my rock and my defense. Verse 3 and 4, he throws a word out to those who would seek to attack and assassinate him. Sometimes you got to have a word for folk who are messing with you. Say, listen, I know where you're coming from. I got a word just for you to back up off me. Amen? verses 5, 6, and 7, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord only to receive his hope. Verse 8, he tries to convince friends and supporters that God is our refuge in time of trouble. Trouble will come. But don't you know that God has a hiding place for you and I, that when trouble comes, oh, I'm just getting feeling this thing, that not if trouble show up, but when trouble show up, you can hide. Amen? Amen? And what drew me to this text was that very second or third verse says that when I am overwhelmed, I go to a rock that is higher than I. Amen? Verse 9 and 10, he urged the people to put their trust in God. In short, what David was saying is that God is the only true person, the only place that you can find help in a time of need. Does anybody agree with that today? I mean, you've tried everything. You've tried a 30-day program. You've tried the latest on television. You've tried something you saw on social media, and it's still not work. But don't you know that God will do it? The God that you and I serve will take care of us. He will guide and protect us. That's worth repeating. In our text, we do Psalm 62, verse 11 and 12. It says, one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God. And with you, Lord, is unfailing love. Can I testify? I was looking for something else in Psalm 62, and this word jumped off the page at me. They said, Reverend, how did that happen? I remember some years ago being at the Hampton Ministers Conference, and one of the presenters say, every now and then the word will say, hey, preach me. And when I start to read this word, I stop in my tracks. I said, this will preach. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been reading a devotional, and while you shared it with someone, they said, oh, that was nice. For you, it was like, oh, God, that was my devotional. That word was just for me. That's what this passage or two did for me. Man, I got excited. I was like, I can't wait. And I thought about this. It says, one thing God has spoken. David never tells us what the one thing was.
That's right.
But we can know that God says a lot, doesn't he?
Yes.
Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God made heaven and earth. Yeah. Let me take you on down to Revelation 22, 21, the very last passage of the Bible. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people. Amen. And so in all of that, it's speaking. One of my seminary professors told me my first night in seminary, he said, this book is alive. Don't you know that your Bible is alive?
Amen.
Amen. God is not dead. He's yet alive. And so as we read the text, I pray this week something might jump off the page.
That's right.
And arrest you and say, you need to hear this. Amen.
Yeah.
And the next week, tell me what that passage was.
Right.
For me, this was the passage. Whatever the one thing God spoke, David heard two things. First of all, power belongs to you, God. This shows that he's someone who had a relationship with God. Otherwise, we miss stuff, right? Did he speak once? I didn't hear anything. And we know that God speaks through his holy word. We know God speaks through his Holy Spirit. We know God speaks through circumstances.
Yes.
Amen. You didn't like it, but that circumstance taught you a thing or two.
Yes.
About life, didn't it?
Yes.
You said, wait a minute, I think I got this now. And God will speak through other people.
Amen.
You don't like what they said. You're mad at them. But didn't the stuff mama and daddy tell you come back? I think they knew what they were talking about. Can I just be a parent for a moment?
Yes.
There's some stuff you put out there and you say, oh, I get it now. Amen?
Amen.
So whatever that one thing was, but he knew that power belonged to God.
Yes.
That God was the source and the strength of his life.
Yes.
You may not have many things, but if you got God, you got enough.
Amen.
I don't care what folks say, a higher power, and I feel it in me, and I, You know, it's a moment, and people start adding stuff with that new life stuff. You better hold on to God's unchanging hand. That stuff that will work. Anybody can testify today that God has worked in your life? Don't you try nothing new at this point, sugar. He done brought you too far. Too many mountains you've been over, too many valleys you've come through to try something different. Shame on you to trade God in. You better hold on to God. He makes a difference. It's because he has power. God is the strength of my life. God gives life and he gives worth, and the power belongs to him. Amen. He possessed it. You want power? Go to God. Amen. I like that today. Power is God's and God's alone. Power flows from him. And he gives power to whomever wants it. I mean, many folk lined up for the Powerball. That's okay. Y'all didn't win. Otherwise, I would have called y'all pastor. Pastor, can you bless it? Bring it on in the house. But the power belongs. I just woke two people up this morning. Y'all still holding y'all ticket. It's over. You didn't get it. But you still got God. Don't need no riches. You got God. Is he not a healer? Now that y'all awake and alert, do you feel God's power operating in your life? Sometimes when you're feeling down and you can feel him lifting you up out of a place of despair and depression, he will do it every time. And we got to embrace that power. God is a God who I believe is a power sharer. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Can I just do a little lesson in theology? That is the Trinity. And as believers, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that they are one. Don't try to break them up. And folks, I just believe in God only. I don't believe in Jesus. And I just believe in the Holy Spirit. But I don't believe in what? Read your Bible. Amen? But when I think about this power, I'm thinking about the hymn, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." Power belongs to God. He is worthy. So David heard and repeated that power belongs to God, but also he talked about God's unfailing love. That's the crux of our faith. You can't say that you're a believer and you say, "Well, I'm a believer, but some folk are off my list. I'm done with them." How can you do that? The Bible talks about how can you say you love God, whom you've never seen, and you can't even love your brother and sister? I know. It's a sermon for another day, but that is at the core. And he writes, "And with you, Lord, is unfailing love." And what comes to mind to me is over in the Gospel of Luke 15, 11 through 32. It's a parable. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning about the two brothers. And so the one who, big and bad, smelling himself and wanted to go away, just give me what's mine. Took his inheritance, left, party, having a great time, had friends everywhere. And guess what? The money ran out. And he found himself in a low place. Got a little part-time job feeding the pigs. And had come to a point where he was ready to eat the slop. Yeah. You country folk know what slop is. It's a combination of all kinds of stuff. But at that moment, he realized, "I can go back home to my father. I forgive me, I'll come back as in another role because I messed up." But there's something about unfailing love. When he headed back home and daddy saw him, daddy got excited, said, "That's my boy. Come on. I heard William Augustus Jones, the late theologian, say the father could relate to that boy because there was some of him in the boy. Uh-oh, you talking about your children? I can't, but there's some of you in them. DNA, he welcomed him, and the younger brother got mad, and you never threw me a party. But there's something about God's unfailing love. Isn't that great that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life? I love you, but God loves you more. Amen? Amen? And that's the good news. He says it's your unfailing love. That's what David heard. I believe that God's unfailing love gets a passing grade. God's unfailing love is honor. God's unfailing love is summa cum laude. Yeah, cum laude. I didn't get any of those. I got oh laude. Amen? But blessed be the God today that love still works. Him writer says, great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There's no shadow of turning with thee. Thy changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not, as thou hast been forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Aren't you glad you serve a God who's great in faithfulness? Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Didn't you get a new mercy this morning? Might have felt the pain, but you got a mercy. Might have been on the move a little slow, but blessed be the God. Didn't he get you up this morning and start you on your way? So what God said once, what have you heard twice? Let me move David off the picture for a moment. What is it that God spoke to you? The one thing that you've heard twice to the point that you don't mind repeating it. You don't have to tell me in the house. You know what that one thing is. As I look back over my own life, there's so much to repeat from what I've heard and continued to hear. Oh, sanctuary, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest, lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was weary, worn, and sad, and I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Has he ever made you glad? You were sad, but he made you glad. David says in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And now that you got here, I'm glad that he's put some clapping in my hands. I'm glad. I'm glad he's put some stomping and shouting in my feet. I'm glad he's given me a word to say to somebody that might encourage them. David even said, sometimes you got to encourage yourself. You waiting on somebody to send you a text. You better say, you know what? The God I serve will bring me through this thing. Anybody got history with God to know he'll bring you through? In the midnight hour when you have no other place to turn, can't call nobody, nobody's looking at your text. God, thank you from where you brought me from, again. And there's something about this repeating. Some of y'all are too young to know the days before there was an iPod and a playlist. When you had a little record player, 45, y'all know what that means? Yeah, 78. And you had, oh, some of y'all still got that box. And every now and then, because you had wore that record out, that and the dust was on the needle, it kept skipping. And when it started skipping, it kept repeating. You've gone to the other room, and it's, do you feel that thing today? You see what I'm trying to go with this? That when you think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, it ought to skip. It ought to cause you to skip and say, Lord, I thank you for saving me. You ought to repeat that he brought me through seen and unseen death. That thing ought to skip on you today. Say, God, I thank you. I know my life is all scratched up, but I'm glad today that you saved me. I'm glad today that you've kept me. I'm glad today that you're guiding me. Have y'all caught that yet? It keeps on skipping. And when you think about where he's brought you from, it will cause you to skip. Eugene Monroe Bartlett, Christian songwriter, kept telling this old story until he put it to a song. I've heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. I repented of my sin. Now put your name in the block.
Yeah.
Huh? And then I won the victory. I know your baseball team is doing pretty good. They might lose one or two, and you're excited about your other team coming on the field. But aren't you glad that you know what real victory is all about? Some of y'all, have you ever had victory? Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. Know why? He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Yeah.
All I'm saying today, that take the one thing that God has spoken.
Yes,
and I think he'll allow you to hear two or three or four or five,
yeah,
six or seven or eight or nine things that you can share with somebody.
Yeah.
Does anybody have something to share today as you leave this place? They say, why you keep saying the same old thing again, mama? God is good. God is good. God is good. Why do you keep saying, the Lord will make a way? The Lord will make a way. The Lord will make a way. Why do you keep saying, he saved my soul? Oh, y'all get it. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. And you keep repeating some stuff, and somebody will get it. In fact, you will get it. Just keep talking to yourself. I'm just going to say, I know I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I never seen his seed begging bread. I'm getting excited. So if you see me in the hallway still talking about the same thing, say, he ain't crazy. He's just repeating. Because some things are worth repeating in the Lord. There's some stuff you ought to get excited about. I'm going to run and tell somebody what the Lord has done for me. Oh, I'm feeling good today. What about you? He spoke. That's all we can handle. I want more. No. Take the one thing he's spoken to you and you'll hear the echo.
Yeah.
That is the word of God today.
Right.
God will be blessed. Some things, not everything, some things are worth repeating. Somebody needs to hear it over, over again. Even when they do this, they still want to hear. I've learned as I've gotten older now that you can be talking to somebody and they got iPods in you. Hey, blah, blah, blah. You talking to me? It's happened. I've gone to college campuses in the dead of winter. Young people, I'm saying, what do you make about that? Take your iPods out. Take those earphones out so you can hear very clearly. Come just as you are. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this word today. Like the old days of the CB radio, put your ears on that we might hear what thus saith the Lord. Maybe today somebody has heard you speak to them. And the offer is eternal life,
yes,
through Jesus Christ,
yes, sir,
our Savior.
Yes, sir.
If that is you today, either in this place, or online, open your heart today. What does that mean? Open the emotional you and allow the Lord to come in. Invite him in.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's personal. It's powerful. It's about love today. I pray someone somewhere has received Christ as their personal Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name. Maybe you've come today and you desire to be a part of this fellowship. With the DJ pastor always finding something about music to add to his sermons. Come today. often say, you keep coming long enough, we'll put you to work. How many of y'all just kept on coming and didn't realize you was a member? I never told you any different. I said, I ain't going to say nothing. Just, yeah, come again now, okay? Yeah, keep on coming. There's work for the Lord to do. We're not trying to steal anybody's member. I don't want to fight no pastor. If you feel led today, come to this place. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You can always approach us after and say, listen, I'm ready. Sign me up. But we thank God today.